Oh, what is that awful noise?
What noise?
Holiday music.
You like it?
It's like, what, August?
Yeah, it's August.
Yeah, I don't need to hear that until November, December, yeah, after Halloween.
So you don't care for holiday music?
I detest it.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's annoying, right?
Yeah, yeah, old songs. Oh, give me some summer tunes.
Why do you think I'm doing it, man?
I don't know. Are you getting ready? Are you stocking up for your presents for holiday for your friends and family?
No.
Hmm.
Close, though. There is some planning involved.
I suppose sellers. Are sellers sourcing inventory for holiday already?
Bingo, Alan.
Hey.
You got it.
Go me.
So that's why you have to suffer with the holiday music 4 months in advance. Sorry.
Anything for our sellers. If it helps them, let's do it. I'm Alan.
I'm Griff. And this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace.
So it is time then to start planning for the holiday selling season.
Well, it was actually time a few months ago, but better late than never.
Yeah, a few months ago.
Yeah, in fact, most retailers, Alan, and sellers on eBay, whether they know it or not, are retailers, albeit small retailers. Most retailers start planning and stocking up for the holiday season at least 6 months in advance.
Oh, nice. Okay, well, that sounds like we're playing catch up then.
Well, yes and no. The advantage to being a small retailer is that you can plan and execute faster than a big retailer. So now's the time, sellers, to start that planning.
And planning is important, just as important as knowing your numbers.
Absolutely, Alan. And to help out with that planning, we'll be focusing on the topic of lean into holiday for the next two shows. And on this episode, we'll speak with someone from the eBay side who knows a bit about planning for the holiday retail season, director of the eBay Home and Garden category, Andrea Gao.
And on Better Know a Seller, we'll feature the two winners of the You're the Voice contest we held at eBay Open and announced last week. Those winners were Craig Dawson, whose eBay user ID is 2dogsdig, and Terry Thayer, who is known on eBay under the ID TXBlue49.
All that plus question time featuring your questions that you sent to us at either podcast@ebay.com or called into our hotline at 888-723-4630.
Up next, The Buzz.
Okay, Alan, let's get started. What's buzzing on eBay this week?
In the eBay community and on social, conversations included good-till-cancel listings, search, and internet sales tax. Regarding good-till-cancels, we're seeing sellers who have seen positive benefits from the good-till-cancel change, sharing their experiences and encouraging others to accept this industry standard.
Well, you know, the majority, if not all, the fixed-price listings in retail are always good-until-canceled. It was only eBay that had this shorter duration.
That's right, and it's easy to go back there and purchase the item again, which on eBay, that's been quite difficult.
Yeah.
And sellers are highlighting that good till canceled improves search experience for buyers and, as we just mentioned, is a typical experience on other marketplaces.
The short and long-term benefits are really there. We have the data and we've done the research. And if your fixed price listing stays up on the site until it's canceled, you do get really good SEO value and it helps with best match. And of course, it helps with your long-term sales history, which can boost your item in best match and get you more sales. And you can still end your good until canceled listing at any time. Now, for more information, go to ebay.com/seller center and search for good until canceled. You can also visit the 2019 Spring Seller Update page that has details and, wait for it, an FAQ on the very topic. The link will be in the episode transcript, available at www.ebay.com/podcast. What else is on it, Alan?
There was also conversations around search.
What exactly?
Well, we regularly have community members share their experiences searching for items on eBay, and sometimes they report that their results differ from one member to another.
Search algorithms work on what's put into them, so it's all buyer-initiated. Following SEO recommendations and best practices is very important. We keep saying this, and that means using the proper keywords, listing in the proper category, including product identifiers, and as was announced at eBay Open last month, and we're going to talk a lot about this in the coming months, filling in all of the requested item specifics, or as we're calling them now, aspects, for that item in the listing flow. And to be blunt about it, if your listing isn't optimized, it will affect how you show up in search, and even on Google Shopping. I recommend again going to ebay.com/seller center, and this time searching for search.
Hey.
Yeah, that'll do it. You'll see some tips. eBay wants your listings to be found.
Exactly. And I think the last count, what I heard is we had over 1.2 billion listings live on eBay.
It's a lot of inventory.
It's a lot of inventory. So you can imagine needle in a haystack. You want to make sure you're filling out as much content as possible on your listings, telling eBay what it is so that buyers will find it.
You don't want your item to be a needle in a haystack. You want it to be a firecracker in a haystack.
That's it. That's it.
Light that site on
fire. Popping out, jumping on, buy me.
Right.
Well, what we saw on the boards is that some members clarifying that search results are dynamic, and they also show results based on various factors that are specific to each buyer. Additionally, many sellers were sharing best practices on how to use search filters that appear on the left-hand side of any eBay search results page.
Buyers use those filters, Alan, and sellers need to know how they work. Learn to use the filters. Now, I have some news to report.
Really? What's the news?
It's a report about reports.
Explain, please. A report about reports?
Sure. I'm talking about orders reports. Now, here's the deal. Sellers can now download a report of all their past eBay orders, otherwise known as sales, from up to the past 90 days. The report is in the form of a CSV file, which can be opened in any spreadsheet program.
Interesting. What's in the report?
Oh, Alan, lots of information. There are columns for just about every aspect of an order, including, now I'm going to list them,
right,
buyer and item information, including the buyer's contact information, all of the costs associated with the transaction, the dates of the transaction, the dates for shipping, even text used by a seller in a custom label, and buyer notes as well. Now, it's pretty much the same information you can download from a certain online payment service, which shall be nameless. Personally, I got to tell you, I'm delighted to find this report. One of the reasons I have not opted into managed payments as of yet is because I rely so much on the legacy reporting of that certain online payment service, which shall be nameless, but now I no longer need it. I do wish that the information went back longer than 90 days. You should put in a request for that.
You should. I think you know some people.
Will you make a note of it?
I will.
Okay. But my plan is to create calendar reminders every month to remind me to download the previous month's data in a report. I use this, by the way, Alan, for filling in the books for my business.
Excellent. Great idea, Griff. And where can sellers find this report?
I thought you'd never ask. Just go to the orders page in Seller Hub and look for the link for download report. It's in the upper right-hand corner, and it only takes seconds to download. You should really check it out.
Oh, I will.
Okay, then. What else is buzzing, Alan?
Internet sales tax continues to drive conversations and questions.
Really? Anything specific on the questions front?
Members have been discussing sales tax holidays that occur throughout the country, and they're wondering if eBay will participate in those. We contacted our tax team, and they advised that we do have a tax engine that keeps track of sales tax holidays, and it applies the appropriate sales tax rates in effect during those sales tax holidays.
Well, that's amazing. That's very smart.
Yeah, very. Sellers also sought clarification on how to properly comply with tax collection expectations, and they received reassurances from the community that it's likely no action is required for states where eBay collects and remits tax.
Hmm.
Others asked for help understanding how sales tax is recorded and how they can see reports of tax collected for their account.
Yeah, and I have some news that for those sellers located in Ohio, Ohio is the next state to come online starting September 1st. And as of that date, eBay will start collecting sales tax for all sales in Ohio. The Ohio seller does not need to do anything on eBay, but they may want to visit the Ohio Department of Taxation website to determine their responsibilities for reporting sales tax after September 1st. This advice actually goes out to all sellers in states where eBay is now collecting the sales tax on their behalf. Again, you don't have to do anything on the eBay side, but you may still have reporting responsibilities according to the requirements of your particular state. Know them. Don't pretend that they don't exist.
Exactly, exactly. And I think one point of clarification is that it's based on the buyer. So it's for purchases made for buyers in Ohio, I think, rather than the seller.
I'll include this clarification in the recording.
Okay, great.
And one last word on the topic. Remember, this is not an eBay thing. A lot of people are saying, oh, eBay, why are you doing this to us? We're not. Internet sales tax is a government mandate. It's based on applicable tax laws. eBay will calculate and collect and remit sales tax on behalf of sellers for items shipped to customers in states charging internet sales tax, regardless of your physical location. If you sell to buyers in certain states, those states may require you to collect applicable taxes on transactions. For those states that we are collecting tax, you don't need to take any other action on eBay. There are no extra charges or fees for this service. There are no opt-outs for selling items for the states where we are collecting tax or out of eBay automatically collecting sales tax for applicable orders.
Thank you, Griff. And for all information on internet sales tax, make sure you check out our help page at ebay.com/sales tax.
Thank you, Alan. That's it for this week's Buzz. Now it's time to meet our eBay Open You Are the Voice contest winners on our Better Know a Seller segment. Last week, we announced the two grand prize winners of our You're the Voice contest held at eBay Open. This week, we'll hear the interviews that both of our winners recorded. First off, eBay seller Terry Fair, who along with her husband Todd stopped by the booth for a casual interview on day one. Right now we have, well, one of my favorite sellers from the old eBay radio parties and past eBay events, Terry Thayer.
Yes, and I'm here with my trusty crazy hat.
And also your trusty crazy husband.
Yes, my husband Todd. He's the whole reason I'm even doing eBay in the first place.
So I want to ask you about that, but first I want to thank you, Todd, for getting your wife started on eBay. How did this happen?
Well, I was in my single again days as a single mom, had gotten laid off from work. Todd was a good friend that we would occasionally go out together, and he knew my predicament of trying to make ends meet financially. He'd done some stuff with eBay, buying and selling guitars and things like that, and he goes, "You really need to think about this."
Are you a musician, Todd?
Yes.
Do you have a band?
I retired in 2013. I may start it up again when I retire from a regular job.
You're a guitar player then?
Yes.
Do you have guitars ready to go in case you get back into it?
I have 10.
10?
Yeah.
He's very talented.
Did you get any of them off eBay?
Yeah, I got one off of eBay.
What's your favorite guitar?
My Gibson SG.
Ooh, great guitar. What do you guys sell on eBay?
I originally started out just selling everything I could get my hands on. As a single mom laid off from my job. And anything that wasn't tied down and anything the kids had outgrown and all that kind of stuff. And then over the years, I kind of refocused into what really was my passion, which was kind of funny because I wound up marrying him, and he's why I started in the first place, so we refocused
into... You're talking about Todd, who's sitting here.
Yes, yes, my husband, Todd. And passion of music and motorcycle lifestyle and that kind of thing. So our business evolved from whatever I could get my hands on, garage sale or whatever, to what we now have, which is motorcycle lifestyle, which is anything to do with motorcycle enjoyment, whether it's parts, clothing, collectibles, you name it.
Are there specific brands or is it multi-brand?
Well, Harley, whenever I can get Harley Davidson.
Is it hard?
It can be because every time I get a good wholesale source for it, something happens and they lose their license. Oh. And I don't know why. So, but whenever I can get Harley Davidson product, I grab it. We did that, and because a lot of the bikers that we know also have other common interests, like being retired or active police, firemen, or military, I started collecting first responder and military items to sell, as well as rustic home decor.
So this is interesting. So the product line connection is important here. And in order to expand it, you figured out that a lot of your buyers have interests outside of the motorcycle lifestyle.
Yes.
And you're able to tap into that.
The important thing that people have to remember is a biker isn't just a biker. They have a lot of different interests that cross over in their lives, whether it's their job or another passion or something they've done in the past, like being an inactive or retired military. The cross merchandising is what I discovered really was working for me. I would start carrying a new line and he would say, "Well, why are we selling that?" And I'm like, "Well, think about it. Who do we know in our own circle of friends that has these common interests?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. That's a good idea."
So, Terry, I didn't expect this, but you are perfect examples of knowing your customers inside and out.
And anytime, and I've shared this many times over, anytime somebody asks me, how do you find something to sell? What do you sell? I tell them first, look at what your interests are. Look at what your hobbies are. Then look at what your passions are. And that will help you to find not only things you know the most about, but things that will be easy for you to sell because you do know about them, and in turn, help other people.
This is not your first eBay event.
Oh, no. This is like, I started with the 20-year, finally getting to come to the events, and I haven't missed one yet. This is his first.
Todd, your first event. What do you think so far, Todd?
Hey, it's a lot of excitement in here. It's awesome.
And will you come back?
I think I'll come back next year.
Oh, good. Now, do you ride motorcycles as well?
I have a motorcycle.
Now, I asked how many guitars. How many motorcycles do you have?
I just have one.
We have the one. I ride the seat.
There's a seat I'm after myself.
There's a story behind that, a little story behind this. When we first started dating more, I had a smaller Harley, and I called up and said, hey, I'm going to be on my motorcycle one day. I'll come by and say hi. So I drive up to her house, and she opens up the door, and she's putting her boots on. I said, what are you doing?
I'm going riding. So, I'm an old girl from my dad being a biker back in the high school days.
Okay.
So anytime I get to ride, I was taking advantage of it.
So getting closer to our wedding, we went to the dealership because my bike I was on needed a little service. And she goes, I'm going in. I said, oh, my gosh, every time I go in, it's going to cost me money. And she walked up to the bike that I currently own and said, this is my back seat.
And this is our next bike. And a week later, we drove off on it.
That's fantastic.
Still the same bike. I'm never going
to
sell it.
Part of motorcycle lifestyle is you get to travel a lot.
We love taking road trips. And yeah. I know how to pack for a whole week on that bike, I assure you.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of camping as well?
Not as much camping as we used to, but we take a lot of trips with the club.
Oh.
He's a member of a law enforcement club, motorcycle club.
Yeah.
And so we do a lot of trips with them. And then we also do trips on our own.
You guys are terrific.
Oh, awesome.
I love that angle about knowing your buyer.
It's so important. It really is.
Well, thank you both, Todd and Terry Thayer.
Thank you, and I love getting to see my Griffin. Love on you.
And I love to see you too, Terry. And now Todd as well. Enjoy the rest of the event.
Oh, we will. Absolutely.
Thank
okay. Thanks, Griff.
Yep.
Our second winner hails from our great neighbor to the north. That would be Canada for the geographically challenged. And his name is Craig Dawson. His user ID on eBay is Two Dogs Dig. He and his delightful, if taciturn, partner, Rick Bellinger, sat down to share their story with us.
Right now we have two sellers with us, Rick Bellinger and Craig Dawson. Are you both from Canada?
Both from Toronto.
And Craig actually has the Canadian Reseller Group on Facebook.
Yep.
And do you have regular meetups?
We don't actually have meetups yet. It's more of a virtual group because we have 1,200 members across Canada.
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
Yeah,
It'd be hard to get them all in one room.
Okay.
This is your first eBay open? No, yes?
That's our second.
Second. So the last one was so good you decided to come back.
Absolutely.
It was really great from a networking standpoint and a learning standpoint for us because I've been on eBay for 23 years before it even launched in Canada. And Rick is my partner of 33 years. He's been sort of drugged through all of this listing and selling for years and
screaming
years and years.
Screaming and kicking.
Yeah, but you're not screaming and kicking now, so you must have acquiesced.
No, we're being taped, so.
Oh, okay.
Well,
wait a minute. So let me get this straight. So you're the main seller in this. Are you just sort of a hanger-on, Rick?
Actually, I've been a hanger-on, if you want to call it that, for the past 20-some odd years.
Yeah.
I'm the packer, the shipper,
photographer. You are involved, okay.
Yeah.
Until 6 weeks ago, where he quit to become full-time as a reseller now. So he's running.
I retired.
He retired from his other job, and he is now running Two Dogs Digs full-time, which is our eBay store.
Two Dogs Dig?
Two Dogs Digs. We're two dogs, bad dog and good dog, and we dig up great stuff for everybody to find.
Wait a minute, that's actually your nicknames for each other, too?
Yeah, bad dog and good dog. My initial eBay store was Bad Dog Collectibles.
Can I ask why, or is it two first?
No, I went to put an ad in before the internet, there was a publication called Toy Shop, and we used to sell toys. And I went to put an ad in there, and when I went to place an ad, somebody said, what's your name? And I said, it's Craig Doss. And they said, oh, you're in trouble. We have a lot of people complaining about you. And I said, but I've never done anything before. And they said, oh, well, you're in, like, Denver. I said, no, I'm in Toronto. And they said, that's a different Craig Dawson. You better not run an ad with your name in it, though, because if you do, people will think you're the guy who's ripping them off. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, so can you come up with a name, please? And I literally went, come up with a name. And they said, yes. And we had a puppy who literally peed on the floor that second. And I went, bad dog. And the person on the other side of the phone said, bad dog? And I went, what? And they said, bad dog. I said, okay. And
it stuck.
And it stuck. So when we opened our eBay store, it was Bad Dog Collectibles 23 years ago.
And you were Good Dog because you do something good, I suppose.
Well, Bad Dog was taken. So.
Oh, right, dear. Well, you could have been Okay Dog.
And then 2 years ago, when he really decided to start ramping up and we wanted to figure out how to make our store better and bigger, we decided it couldn't be Bad Dog Collectibles, so they're two dogs. So it became Two Dogs Digs.
I like Two Dogs Digs. That has a good ring to it. It could be a band.
Yeah. Right. And when we sell clothes, it's Two Dogs Duds.
Oh, so do you have two user IDs?
Yeah.
Wow. You guys are serious.
Oh, one is a Canadian one, and one is a U.S. One goes on .ca, one goes on .com.
Okay, explain that, because a lot of our sellers are going to want to know how that works. So you're located in Canada, but you have a user ID that sells primarily from Canada?
No, primarily from .com. That's our major one. So Two Dogs Digs is a .com listing, so we list everything in the U.S. in U.S. dollars. We get paid in U.S. dollars. We happen to be lucky we live near the border, so we use a cross-border shipper, so we can ship with the same rates that pretty well anybody throughout the U.S. can.
Oh, okay. But then why the second ID that's Canadian-based?
For Canadians to buy in Canadian dollars.
It's
also so that we can have our finger on the pulse of what's happening with other sellers in our Canadian group.
So that helps when you're talking to the people in the group themselves, right?
Yeah, because we launched that 2 years ago to basically say resellers need a voice in Canada that can talk to things about differences that are here versus the U.S., and we don't have the same shipping or any of those sort of ideas. So we thought, well, we can't talk to people if we don't have a .ca account, but we've always had one. It's always been his.
Right.
We've also done tests where we've run an item and put, well, this item is $9.99 Canadian, this item is $10.99 US, and saying, who's buying it more? And seeing if Americans are looking at conversion factors, and it's really wild how some of the things have turned out.
So, do you see any consistent learnings from this, or is it just random all over the place?
It literally becomes random based on the item. So when we're doing things like Christmas ornaments, it's the same with free shipping, actually. When we do Christmas ornaments and we tried to do them at like $14 with free shipping, we sold a few. Then we decided to put them at $12 with $5 shipping, and we sold 20 times more.
It just doesn't make sense.
No.
But there has to be a reason.
And the same with Canadian. It'd be $14.99 Canadian, which would translate to like $11
right.
US, and then we put it at $9 US, and people would buy the Canadian one thinking that they got a 30% off, and it's still more than our listing in our U.S. store. So it's a little strange like that, but the bulk of our sales, like 90% of our sales are to the U.S., 5% international, and 5% in Canada, actually.
The listings on the Canadian user ID, which again is?
Two Dogs Duds.
Two Dogs Duds. Do buyers from outside of, well, I'm going to say U.S. buyers, do they tend to look for and find and buy these items?
Not very often.
Not as much as a
what is there a reason? Is that deliberate or?
I find that most American buyers do not like buying outside of America.
Oh.
Even if it's from Canada, the whole crossing the border thing is taboo.
So why do you think that is?
I don't know.
It's mainly the potential. Well, it can be the Buy American, but it's also the potential of, am I going to have duty that comes on something that comes from Canada in? But again, we simply, and you can get around that for a lot of Canadians by actually setting up a U.S. address on a cross-border shipper.
Of course.
A drop box for people. So even if you wanted to order anything from eBay U.S. that somebody had free shipping on, we order it and we have it dropped off in Niagara Falls, New York. Then the next time we go across to New York, we get it and it was free shipping. Whereas if we ordered it to be shipped to Canada, it could be $15, $20.
Oh, I see. So you sometimes have to take your paid shipments across the border to Niagara Falls.
Well, actually, we use what's called a cross-border shipper.
So you don't do the actual...
No, we don't do it.
Because that'd be a hassle, wouldn't it?
Yes. You have to fill out the customs forms and things like that. But there's a number of cross-border shippers in Canada that have actually set up and are starting to expand more and more to major markets. And so you can get to cross-border shippers from Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Montreal, Halifax. There's even people in our Canadian resellers and fantastic thrifters group, Craft, who actually mail their items to the cross-border shippers to send across. And it's even cheaper to do that.
It's like a fulfillment service.
It basically is, yeah.
Wow.
To some degree,
I had no idea. And I think most of our sellers had no idea either. Most of our sellers are going to be U.S.-based. And
yep.
They don't really ever think about what it's like to buy or sell outside of the borders of this. You know, Americans, we're isolationists, you know. I don't include myself in there because I actually travel a lot, but it is true that the majority of people tend to think just within the borders of the U.S.
Yeah, and I think the benefit that we do have, though, is even though we're a Canadian eBay sellers, we are more in the thrifting and recycling and estate sale world and things like that. The type of items we have are a lot more one-of-a-kind.
They want the item.
Yeah, and even in some cases, there are versions of something that only came out in Canada. So years and years ago, going back like 15, 20 years, we used to sell a lot of Barbie dolls. We were actually one of Canada's largest vintage Barbie doll dealers.
Wow.
And there would be people who would say, oh, the Baywatch Teresa just came out, but it only came out at the Hudson Bay in Canada. And we would literally get phone calls and emails from people asking us to basically walk to the bay and buy a doll for $20 and send it to them for $75 US. Same with Maple the Beanie Baby. We had $125 for a thing we could find for $8 at the local Hallmark.
Because they didn't sell them.
Because it was a Canadian beanie.
Exactly.
So that's another thing that we... And it's also why we have the craft group. So we talk to people and say, if you're a Canadian seller, make sure you let people know that their box that something's in is bilingual. Because somebody who's a real collectible fanatic may have issues with something they get if it doesn't have, if it only has the American, and they don't want a single multilingual package coming to them, and you don't want to have returns.
The second language that you recommend? French.
Yeah,
obviously.
And at least show the pictures of it too, with a really clear, easy picture, so somebody sees that. But always put in your listing thing, it's a bilingual package or a multilingual package.
This is your one chance to give a tip on the podcast. Well, maybe you'll have future chances, I don't know. But would that be your main tip, or can I put you on the spot and come up with what you would think is the most important thing for U.S. sellers to consider when it comes to international trade, specifically cross-border with Canada?
I think the biggest tip that we could have is that it's really easy to ship using USPS to Canada. And that's actually the easiest way to look at doing something like that. There are options such as Global Shipping Program for eBay that I think work a lot better actually internationally. But cross, like to Toronto from Buffalo, it really is not that much more beneficial. And it's not that hard to really do it with Stamps.com or Pirate Ship or USPS or any of those.
And I should mention here that if you are a seller who lists with Global Shipping Program, you can actually indicate an alternative shipping method for something in state Canada so that you'll use USPS to ship your items to Canada.
And that's what we recommend to most of our people. Like 80% of the people in our group, we have the largest Facebook group in Canada for resellers. 80% of them are Canadian, but 20% of them are US. So we have a lot of U.S. people who ask those kind of questions, and we try and make sure when we go on to other boards and social activity, we try and point that out as well. Because it's all about the rising water, like lifts all boats.
Some metaphor
like
there.
Yeah, something from Zoltan, the great fortune teller. We saw one of him today at a thrift store, that's why.
Did you buy him?
Yes. Well, no, it was one of the gigantic Zoltan. And as you walked through the thrift store, Zoltan called out to you. And I actually went and paid my dollar and had my fortune read by the Zoltan thing.
Oh, you didn't buy the Zoltan himself.
No, I wanted to, but we couldn't have fit it in our suitcase to come back anyway.
I didn't see a price tag, so...
In a store, everything is for sale. You must know that, right?
Well, we can go back. We know where.
Yeah, you just arranged to have it shipped UPS back to Toronto. USPS, sorry. Yeah. Rick, you haven't said much. I wanted to ask you...
I rarely speak when he's around.
Really? Is that convenient?
It's my voice.
Oh, okay. Well.
That's why I'm trying to get him more and more on our YouTube show. Every Wednesday night at 9, we do a show on our YouTube channel for Two Dogs Digs, and he's finally started getting on camera more, and he's starting to talk more, and everybody's saying, well, you know, he's really, like, he shouldn't be so shy, and I keep telling him that, but I usually don't shut up. So,
Craig, I want to thank you, and Rick, you as well. We've been speaking with Craig Dawson and Rick Bellanger. They have two stores, Two Dog Duds and Two Dog Digs. Check them out on ebay.com and ebay.ca.
Thanks, Chris.
We'll be airing clips from all the interviews over the next few months, starting next week with some of the runner-ups who made it so difficult for our team to choose an actual winner or two. And now it's time for the eBay perspective on preparing your business for the holiday selling season. Like we said at the top of the show, it's not too early to start planning for the upcoming holiday season. It's actually almost too late. But don't panic, you still have time, and joining us now to help us get started with holiday planning and execution with no panic is Director of the Home and Garden category here on eBay, Andrea Gowan. Andrea, welcome.
Thanks, Griff. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. So that's the big question. When we talk to a lot of small businesses and we say, hey, it's August, where are you in your holiday planning? Some of them blanch and look at me with big eyes and say, isn't it too early? Is it too early for eBay sellers to start planning for the 2019 retail season for the holidays?
It's definitely not too early. Most retailers start around 11 months in advance, but it's also not too late. That's the beauty of eBay, is we can get things live on site within minutes.
Right. And if you're a smaller business, you tend to have more room for execution and planning. You don't have to be as far out planned.
Right. Yeah. And I think there's always opportunities that pop up as we get closer to the holiday season that some of our smaller sellers are able to take advantage of that our large retailers wouldn't be able to.
What kind of opportunities?
oh, like things that are trending and hot, sort of like a scarce hot item, maybe a toy or an electronics gift, something like that, that our sellers are able to go source in the moment and then put them on eBay.
Yeah, and a bigger retailer, that's harder for them to do, right? Because there's a whole process in place for getting inventory into stores.
Definitely. I mean, they plan months in advance because they're sourcing the inventory from overseas. And then obviously it takes like 3 months or so to travel the waters.
Do big retailers miss out on those last minute trends that pop up, like the, I remember in the past, like a Furby or a Tickle Me Elmo or something like that?
Yeah, they usually have them, but they don't necessarily have them in the depth. Like they've misforecasted, right? And I think that's the beauty of eBay and where we're always in stock and customers can always find what they're looking for thanks to our sellers.
That's a great byline. Always in stock. So you work in the home and garden category, if I'm not mistaken.
I do. I oversee home and garden as well as parts of the electronics business.
Oh, so that's a wide-ranging set of categories.
It is, and it's fun and exciting. You know, everything from getting your home ready for the holidays all the way to like that last minute stocking stuffer, maybe Google Chromecast would fall into my...
I can never have enough Google Chromecasts. I got them on every TV in my house.
People love to travel with them too. You can pop it on when you're traveling so you can watch your favorite television show in your hotel room.
I never thought of that. I wonder if you can you travel with an Apple TV as well?
Probably.
It's got to have an HDMI output, yeah.
Exactly. As long as you have an internet connection and a USB port.
Note to self, because hotel television is usually really boring.
I know what to get you for the Christmas season now.
I wasn't begging for a gift, but thank you, Andrea. Put it on your list. What are your three or five top priorities that every eBay seller needs to consider and look towards addressing before going into the holiday selling season so that they're ready for success? That's what we want to have them be successful.
Definitely. Sort of touched on earlier, which is like products, right?
Product
is the most important thing. If you don't have anything to sell, you can't make any money.
Right. Operations and everything else don't matter.
Right. So I think it's trying to figure out like what those hot items might be or where you have opportunities to source based on your supply chain. Also, delivering on retail standards. Being able to deliver free shipping or guarantee shipping time, offering free returns if you're able to, is huge. Just anything that will help convert a buyer.
And that's more important than ever during the holiday season.
Definitely. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. Like, is this the right item? Is it the right size? Things like that, that will give buyers confidence in shopping from your store.
So saying that you take returns, and if they're free returns, even better, it gives the buyer more confidence to shop with you as opposed to someone else.
Exactly. And then I also think making sure you're staffed appropriately. Right?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
I think that's something that, you know, you get so excited, you stock the warehouse, you stock the shelf, but then you need to make sure that you can process those packages. And also maybe even, I didn't have this on my list, but maybe making sure that you've got good relationships with your UPS driver or your USPS postal worker so they can swing by late at night in case you're having a hard time.
Right. It pays to actually be friendly to them and, you know, offer them a cup of coffee and a donut when they stop by occasionally, right?
Definitely.
Because then if you have a special request, they're not. I mean, they may have to do it as part of their job, but they might as well do it and enjoy it. Think, you're a nice person. You're a nice business.
Yeah. Or if you're like, I just need 2 more minutes, maybe they're willing to wait for you.
Oh, right. Exactly. What else are staffing considerations?
Yeah. Maybe even customer service in case people are asking questions, right? Like, when will I expect to get this package? Or what size is it? Is this the correct color? Because then, you know, there's nuances, and you may say beige, and manufacturer may say tan, and the customer wants to know if that is indeed the same thing that they're looking for.
I see for our smaller business sellers that there's a time consideration here. You don't necessarily want to hire people towards the end of the summer. You may need them come November, but there's also a training period if they're not an experienced eBay seller themselves and they're not familiar with your operations and systems. If you're going to staff, you have to work in time to train them before the deluge hits. That's tricky.
It is tricky. I think it's trying to understand what your business needs. And even if that person's not on staff now, but thinking about like, what are those knowledge gaps, the things that will be helpful to make them successful and ultimately your business successful so that you can train them in a shorter window.
Maybe sellers can start putting together a training program in their head so that they're at least ready to train as quickly as possible as they hire 1 or 2 people.
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, there's a tip right there. What else should they consider? You talk about staffing and sourcing and being nice to the post office, the postal people, but what else? I would mention supplies.
Oh, yes. Are you doing a plug for eBay Business Supplies?
Well, you can. I'm leading you on.
Yeah, making sure you've got shipping supplies. Actually, that you say that, and it actually did come up as an issue for one of my sellers during our anti-prime campaign in mid-July. They were waiting for FedEx envelopes in order to get the packages out. And I was like, just go to the store and buy as many envelopes as you need.
You're not going to be able to ship if you don't have something to ship them in. So make sure your shipping supplies are stocked and ready to go.
Definitely.
And I know if you have a eBay store, you get the coupon to get eBay shipping supplies. Great deal. They're free up to the amount of your coupon. Take advantage of that as well.
Yeah.
By the way, I noticed something.
What's that?
A lot of sellers on eBay are selling eBay shipping supplies.
Interesting.
Have you noticed that?
I have not.
What I assume happens is they use up all of their coupon, but they have more supplies than they need, and they get them every quarter. So I've noticed that some sellers are actually reselling their supplies on eBay, which is completely legal. Right?
Our sellers are ingenious.
Of course they are. What are some common mistakes in your experience when you're dealing with sellers or in retail? And these are mistakes or misdirects of energy, for example, when it comes to preparing for the holiday season that eBay sellers should work to avoid during the next few months.
I think it's waiting for the holiday season to get your operations in shape.
Right. So that's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah. And, you know, and especially on a platform like eBay, where seller standards are so important, is making sure that you're able to maintain the status, your account status beforehand. Because the other thing that happens is if you fall below standard, right, people may not see your listings.
You get pushed down in search.
You do. So you want to make sure that you're delivering on expectations. I think also being super planful and understanding what your capacity is and making sure that your handle times are things that you can deliver on.
And it's probably best to start adopting new retail standard business practices now as opposed to waiting for the rush.
Yeah, much easier. Also, like testing out new things, right? Like new processes. You'd rather test it now when maybe the volume isn't as great so that you can make up for it in case there are any issues.
That's a great tip. Can eBay sellers look to eBay and specifically the retail moments that we have on our retail calendar? And these are things like Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Do these present opportunity for their sales velocity? And if so, what are the moments and how does an eBay seller take advantage of them?
Yeah, so we're still finalizing our marketing campaign for all of holiday. But as you said, right, key velocity drivers around that sort of cyber week, I would say we should look to start selling and kicking everything off on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving and being prepared for that all the way through that weekend. And other times that should be real great. Green Monday.
Yeah, Green
which
Monday.
Which is December 9th, which is an eBay holiday.
Yeah, we made it up.
In 2007, right? Yeah. 12 years later, we're still talking about it. And then also, I think with the shift in the calendar this year, so Thanksgiving is a week later. It's the latest that it could be this year versus last year.
Oh, that's right.
So don't panic if things aren't happening in November, but be ready because I think December is going to come fast and furious. If you have capabilities and you can do expedited shipping, I think that's key. Make sure that the customer knows that you're willing to do that.
Yeah, make it really clear in case they need that thing at the last minute.
I'm a procrastinator. I'm sure a lot of our shoppers are.
It's human nature. And there's different reasons for procrastinating. And it's important to understand those when you're a seller, because knowing human nature can help you prepare for things like procrastinators. And it's not that people are lazy. It's that people might not realize that they have to buy gifts for a certain person, or they may be waiting for price fluctuations or to go down for a particular item because they're on a budget. So there's many reasons why a buyer might procrastinate. The seller should really be in a position to anticipate and then meet those needs. What about gift wrapping and all that by request? Somebody says, I want to ship it to somebody else. Should sellers be accommodating those requests?
I think if they're able to do that and make those accommodations, that's great. It will only help them with gaining buyer trust and ultimately conversion.
Well, this is a lot to cover. I want to thank you so much, Andrea, for stopping by. Andrea works on the same floor as the podcast, and she's very busy. This is a busy floor, especially this time of year. So thank you for taking the time out and talking to our sellers about prepping for the holidays coming up.
Great. Thanks for having me.
We've been speaking with Andrea Gowan. She's the director of the home and garden category here on eBay. Coming up next, your questions and our responses, and we hope they're accurate. Hey, Alan.
Hey, Griff.
It's time to address some questions.
My favorite part.
These are questions that sellers sent in. And the first one is from podcast@ebay.com, the inbox. You want to read it?
When you get offers from customers, you have to click onto your original listing to see if you are charging for shipping or not. I sometimes offer free shipping, but not always. It would be much more convenient if shipping costs for that particular listing were shown on the offer so you can make a faster decision on whether you want to accept the offer. Thanks again. That comes in from Nicole H. in Florida.
That's a great suggestion, Alan.
We should take it.
Let's go right up after the podcast.
Okay.
March into the shipping team.
Right.
And demand that they put this in as a change.
Yeah. Let's make it happen for Nicole H.
I'll bring flowers, you bring a box of chocolates.
Box of chocolates. Right. Shipping team's favorite.
Or donuts, whatever they like. Hey, you know, we only got that one question this week that we could use.
Okay.
I want to remind people that if you have a question about your particular account, like my account was restricted or suspended, or if it's a very specific question to your account, we actually can't address it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. You need to contact the customer support folks.
Yeah, that's right.
I was perusing the eBay community selling board looking for questions, and I found there were a few threads around the perennial topic of my sales are slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I scanned through a few, and you know, I was surprised to read a lot of sellers posting what they believe are the causes of slow sales, including that old urban myth that eBay somehow and for some insane reason deliberately hides listings or slows sales. Can you believe it?
I can. I see it quite a bit.
Yeah. There were even references to my favorite ridiculous myth, rolling blackouts.
Rolling blackouts. Yeah, don't tell me you posted.
I did.
All right, what did you do?
I was polite.
Oh, good.
I found one seller bemoaning their slow sales, so I took a gander at his listings.
Oh, nice. What did you find?
Well, he had about 200 live listings, which in and itself is a red flag. It's almost impossible to make a viable business on eBay with only 200 live listings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I know this from personal experience as well. I always have about 200 listings up on eBay, and if I had to depend on them, I would starve and be homeless. Because 200 listings are not enough to generate a viable income. Unless you're selling and they're moving fast, like Rolex watches or
exactly.
cars.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So what did you say to the seller?
Well, before I responded, I looked at one listing as an example that he had up. It was a video game. Then I searched for the exact same video game, and I found 54 listings, and they were for the exact same identical item.
Okay.
I sorted the results by lowest price plus shipping, and guess where I found his item ranked in that list?
I'm guessing it's not near the top.
No.
No.
It was number 14 Ouch. Out of 54. There were 13 other examples of the same exact listing that were priced lower than his. So, of course, his item isn't selling.
Of course. Right. Yeah.
Why would anyone expect a buyer to pay more for an item than he or she has to?
Mm-hmm.
A buyer is almost always going to go for the option that costs them the least. Is this always the case, Alan?
I don't think so. There
no,
might be
you're right,
some
yeah.
circumstances where,
right.
where you'll pay a bit extra to get a better service right. or a return policy.
There are categories of items, in fact, where value is not just in the price. For example, one-of-a-kind items or those who require a detailed description or the inclusion of maybe ancillary items, instructions, or services. But video games, and as you said, mm-hmm. the better return policy, the better shipping price, et cetera.
Exactly.
But video games are pretty much the same one from the next, and they're part of one of the most competitive categories on eBay, and that's media.
Yeah, and I suppose with video games, sellers don't usually offer returns. Because
right.
there's, yeah, there's a, it's open to abuse. People clear the game in a week and send it back. So, yeah, I suppose for
well,
this
thanks
one.
Thanks for scaring all the sellers off.
Price, maybe cut that out. I mean, our buyers would never do that. 99.9% of our buyers would
right.
never do that.
Right. And I actually think this seller was offering free returns. I'd have to double check.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of places will say if it's still sealed and in the box, then it's good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always a risk with games. So
by the way, if that does happen to a seller, they should immediately report it to eBay as buyer abuse.
Definitely.
That's definitely abuse.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. So what's the main learning here, Griff?
Well, for items like a video game or the CDs that I'm selling, a seller must make sure that his or her item is priced competitively, both at the time of listing and after that as well. This means a regular checkup to see where the item shows up in search results, and that's search results that are sorted for lowest price plus shipping. I make this inspection with all my own listings at least once a week, and I always have to lower some of the prices accordingly. It's the only way I can make sales of CDs, and that makes sense. Because unless an item is rare, a buyer's not going to pay more for than he or she has to in order to get that CD.
And did you check his other listings?
No, I didn't have time. But in my experience, when I find one item in a category of a seller's inventory that is overpriced compared with the other listings for the identical items in that category, it's a safe bet that the seller's other items are probably overpriced as well.
Okay. If a seller lowers the price and the item still doesn't sell, what do they do then?
Well, in those cases, they need to investigate trends. There may be no one looking for that particular item, Alan.
Okay.
You can uncover the item's desirability by using two eBay tools.
Right.
The Traffic Report in Seller Hub or Terapeak in Seller Hub.
Ah.
Did you know that every seller can view their recent traffic to each single item by going to Seller Hub and clicking on the link for traffic under the Performance tab? Did you know that, Alan?
I did. What a fantastic resource.
Good. I'm glad you did know it. And for those of you who don't, you just go to the traffic link under Performance in Seller Hub, scroll down the page to the list of your current listings, and you can view the individual metrics for things like impressions, page views, and conversion rates. If those metrics are really, really low, and I have to admit, a few of mine are currently at zero, then that just tells you that demand is low or non-existent for the item.
Right, and for determining trends, use Terapeak.
Yep.
Sellers who subscribe to a basic store or above now have free access to Terapeak and Seller Hub. Just look under the new research tab.
Okay, I feel a rant coming on.
Oh, dear.
I'll try to keep it under control.
Here we go. Okay, give you 30 now, seconds, a minute.
Those are two actionable business-minded solutions to determining why sales are slow, Alan. Mm-hmm. And they are much more productive than blaming eBay for absurdly ridiculous nonsense like so-called rolling blackouts. They don't exist. They would never happen. Whenever I hear some seller spout this one, I always ask them, how would hiding listings benefit eBay? Our whole business model depends on your sales. And yet, you actually think there's a benefit to eBay or the marketplace by hiding your listings? Really? Please, I cannot tell you how much my eyes ache from rolling and rolling on that one. It's like a migraine from hell, I tell you.
Hey, Griff, calm down. Calm down. Okay. Do you feel better?
I feel better.
Got that off your chest?
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Well, sellers, if your sales are slow, instead of indulging in conspiracy theories, focus instead on actionable remedies. Make sure you check your prices on a regular basis and keep up to date on trends.
Exactly.
And don't take it personally if buyers won't pay more for your listings when they can get it from another seller for less. Or if no one else is looking for your items, it happens. Liquidate, move on. And then one more thing I would recommend.
Yes, what's that?
Not only search on eBay for price.
Oh.
Go to Google, type in your item, click Google Shopping, because buyers are smart, buyers are savvy. They'll search on eBay and they'll search everywhere else. So you could be one of the lowest prices on eBay, but maybe it's lower somewhere else.
Yeah.
So maybe to get that sale, you have to lower it in line with that other marketplace or website. So just keep in mind, buyers are looking outside of eBay too.
As always, Alan, the voice of common reason. And I couldn't have said all of that better myself.
If you have a question and you'd like us to address it on the podcast, you can call us here on 888-723-4630.
Or you can email it to podcast@ebay.com.
Or you can submit it in the comments section of the episode thread on community under ebay.com/podcast.
Or you can submit it by clicking the click here link in the beautiful mustard yellow box at ebay.com/podcast.
And don't look now,
yeah,
but here comes the coda.
Oh, it's the end of the show. There it is. Another episode in the can. Hey, Alec, what are you doing?
Oh, sorry. I was planning out my selling for the holiday season.
Well, that's good to know we follow our own podcast advice, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, put down the notepad and tell our listener what's up for the next episode.
This week, we heard from the eBay side about what a seller needs to keep in mind as we approach the holidays.
Mm.
On our next episode, we'll meet with an eBay seller who will share how they plan for the holiday selling season.
And one of the categories we tend to overlook during the holidays is collectibles, but not this year. Next week, we'll talk with a rep from the eBay collectibles category about how sellers of collectibles can take advantage of the holiday selling season to boost their sales.
Yay, up next, boilerplate.
How'd that get in the script? Don't forget our number.
Of course, if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be a part of the show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us at 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air. You never know.
And we still have our very own email address where you can send your questions if you like. It's podcast@ebay.com. That is podcast@ebay.com.
Alan.
Yes.
Did you know that we are experiencing a loneliness epidemic?
No, isn't it easier than ever to connect with people via social media? How could you be lonely?
You snark. You had no idea.
I had no idea.
That's right. That's what it says right here in the script. You had no idea. Well, that's because you're so busy being social, but yes, it's true. According to Julianne Holt-Lunstad, a PhD and professor of psychology at Brigham Young University, and I quote, "Lack of social connection has a significant effect comparable to other leading indicators of risk for early death." My heavens.
Oh, no.
She goes on to say, quote, "Feeling alone ranks up there with smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity in terms of its effects on your health."
That is awful.
Yeah.
How widespread is the epidemic, and what does this have to do with eBay business?
Well, hang on, Alan. I'm getting there.
Right.
According to an article on the topic on the WebMD website, social isolation, also known as loneliness, isn't just a problem for the elderly or the homebound. In a survey of 20,000 Americans, nearly half reported always or sometimes feeling lonely or left out. Young adults aged 18 to 22, in fact, are the loneliest generation of all. That's what the survey found.
Okay, I think I know where you're going.
I bet you do. If you, eBay seller, are suffering from the loneliness epidemic, then you just might find the cure by, wait for it,
go on,
attending a local eBay seller meetup in your area.
I knew it.
Of course you did. You're one smart ducky, Alan. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, selling stories, learnings, insights, and even a little bit of kvetching about how lonely they are if they're not at the meetup. You can see upcoming meetups on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups. Go out there, attend a meetup, and cure yourself of this epidemic of loneliness.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness. And right after the live stream, make sure you hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly chat.
Hop.
Hop, skip, and jump right over to the community.
Like a little bunny.
Like a kangaroo.
Hey, doing, 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 doing.
That was a kangaroo reference for Liz. It starts every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
Just go to ebay.com/community chat and you'll find it right there.
And that is our show for this week. The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by Head of Community Brian Burke,
our special correspondent Jen Deal,
Associate Executive Segment Producer and currently away 1 week at a conference Doug Smith,
Marketing Strategist also away at conference Liz Austin,
my esteemed co-host who's here in the building with us. Thank you, Alan, for staying behind. Alan Aisbit,
Editor-in-Chief, and my good friend Griff.
Yay! The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Off the podcast conference.
In Orlando.
In August. They said, would you like to go, Griff? I said, are you out of your mind? Orlando in August. Let me just jump into an oven.
I know, especially just after Vegas in July, you don't. Mm. Or maybe they're going to Disney. Is it what's out there? Disney World? Disneyland?
Yeah, Disney World is out there.
Yeah, some 100 degrees.
So Liz and Doug together, you think, in Disney World?
I think so.
There'll be some gossip in the office next week.
Listening to podcasts at Disney World. I don't believe them.
I don't believe it either.
Yeah. I've never been to Florida. Maybe one time I'll go out.
In the winter.
Yeah?
Mm.
I'll see some alligators.
You'll see them. They're everywhere. They actually shop at Walmart now.
I'll go visit Patty Whitlock.
They carry little crocodile purses.
Yeah. Right.
I'd like a deal, please. Chomp.
Snap up all the deals.